Who the Wild Things Are with Ryan McGuire.
You gotta listen to your body.
Oh my God, maybe, you know, I could get out there. I could do this.
Let's take a ride. Find your wild side. Real stories. See with your own eyes.
It's so beautiful.
I'm gonna have the best time out here.
Yeah, I was in tears. I was just like, that's the best, man.
Welcome back to Who the Wild Things Are. My name is Ryan McGuire, and I'm here to bring you conversations with the most wild folks on the planet. If you're enjoying the podcast, please leave us a rating and review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you enjoyed the episode, share it with a friend. Appreciate you guys. Let's get it going.
Is this thing on? I think it is. All right, what's going on, guys? This is a first for me. It is a solo podcast. Never really done this before because it always felt a little bit contrived. But yeah, here we are. We're doing it live. And it's going to be a two-part series. So part one is going to be about races and the like in 2024. And then part two is going to be about survival courses, adventures in 2024. So those are my two passions in life. And I'm going to share with you guys, basically what we're looking at here is a giant 365 day calendar that I've got a bunch of my plans for the year on. It's always a working document, but I'm going to share what I've got going on here. For anybody that's interested. This is what it looks like planning all this stuff out. So, without further ado, let's talk races. There's sort of a difference. Not all races are created the same. So, in my schedule, what I've got is sort of things that I think of as A races. And that means those are races that I'm training for specifically, maybe even tapering going into those races. And then there's sort of sea level races where I'm not doing as much specificity and less tapering. So we already did one race this year. We did a deca mile in January. That was not an A race, but it was a fun checkup on where my fitness was. I was freshly off being sick, so I was pretty stoked to hit a PR at that race. Just got back from Jackson Hole skiing with friends, and now it's back to training for our next upcoming A race, which is going to be February 24th, and that is Tough Mudder Alula. So a little bit about that race. I've actually never done a Tough Mudder, so I can't tell you that much about the race, but the idea is it's an 8-hour infinity loop. That means that you're running on basically like a 10K course. Along that 10K, there's a plethora of obstacles, and you repeat that as many times as you can in 8 hours. Whoever does it the most wins. The interesting thing about the Tough Mudder Alula race, that's again in Saudi Arabia, Alula is the name of the town. This is the biggest prize purse in history of obstacle course racing that I know of. First place for singles is $80,000. There's also a doubles and even teams of four race. All of those paying out top dollar. So it's bringing in the best athletes in the world. And it's a field full of people that are a lot more talented than me. So hopefully I'm looking for it to turn into an absolute dogfight and just rely on me being kind of like a nutcase and a really gritty person, even though I'm a lot less talented than most of the folks that are going to be there. Okay, so that is 24th of February. Directly leaving Saudi Arabia, I'll be popping over to Dubai for the Gov Games, and that is going to be a team effort. I'm on Team Colorado with a bunch of awesome people: Jack Bauer, Rylan Shattig, VJ Jones, Ethan Brown. I think I got everyone. And we are going to be competing in the Gov Games. The Gov Games is put on by, this is my understanding, I'm probably butchering this, but one of the sheiks of Dubai. and they essentially bring people in from all over the world, and all these athletes compete on teams to win the Gov Games, which has a pretty sizable purse on it as well. I think most of the stuff is going to be like obstacle course racing mixed with sort of like puzzles. So it's going to be similar to a Survivor type game, right? You're pulling down a drawbridge, running over the drawbridge, got to do some monkey bars into a pit of water and solve a puzzle at the end, hit the buzzer before everybody else. You survive in advance. So that's going to be a really cool way to wrap up the trip in the Middle East. I think for a total, I'll be over there about 2 weeks. So obviously leading into something like leading into something like Tough Mudder, Saudi Arabia, really focusing on kind of like ultra distance training. I did sustain a foot injury, so that is, you know, kind of messing with me mentally and physically. But ultimately, we're ultra training right now, you know, putting in more miles, less strength work, eating a lot of carbs. And it's going pretty well. I feel like my overall long distance fitness is coming up. In order to kind of simulate this desert feel, next week I'm actually going to be doing a 6-hour run in the Sand Dunes National Park here in Colorado. And so that's going to kind of emulate the feel of what I can expect in the Arabian Desert. I don't anticipate Saudi Arabia will be all on soft sand, but I think it'll be a little bit of a mix. So going to the Sand Dunes National Park to really give myself a good feeling for what the actual Tough Mudder is going to be like. So in the Sand Dunes National Park, I'll be doing a 5-mile loop. The real race is 6 miles. In the Sand Dunes National Park, I'll be going for 6 hours. The real race is 8 hours, right? So I'm just doing a scaled down version of this ultra to get a feel for it, get a feel for my nutrition, hydration, and gear selection, all that kind of stuff. I just want to kind of emulate game day so that when I get over to the Middle East, I've got all my things ironed out and I'm ready to rock. Obviously, I'm not going to be near home, so it's really important to get those gear selections, you know, figured out beforehand, get your nutrition dialed in. In terms of lodging, we're staying in like these camping sites, so I have no idea what those are going to be like. But one of the biggest things I have to figure out is the sleep heading over to Saudi Arabia. It's a 11 or 12 hour time difference, so I'm getting there a couple days early to try and get my body used to that time zone so that I can be ready to rock February 24th. Okay, that's enough about Saudi Arabia. And again, I'm going to be giving you guys all the adventure stuff and survival trips in episode 2, so make sure you come back for that. Right now, episode 1, we're just going to focus on racing. So after that, we've kind of got a gap. At the end of 2023, I guess, I qualified for High Rocks World Championships in Nice, France, and I accepted that. So, planning on heading to France for the High Rocks World Championships. So the way I'm looking at this is after Tough Mudder, I'll kind of have this like increase in mileage and volume going into Tough Mudder. I'll do Tough Mudder and Gov Games. And then after that, I'm going to have a good aerobic base, but it's going to be time to take down the mileage a touch and increase my intensity for High Rocks. So through March, April, and May, I'm going to be really focusing in back on High Rocks. I'm also going to be doing a couple interesting, we'll get to that later. Really going to be focusing on High Rocks. The plan right now is in May 19th, I believe it is, we're going to be going to Anaheim for High Rocks. If I'm going to a High Rocks tune-up race, I pretty much always try to pick California so I can go surfing. So we're going to go to Anaheim, a big group of us, use that as a tune-up for a couple weeks later. What's that? 1, 2, 3 weeks later, going to race World Championships in France. I'm definitely going to be racing men's pro singles. I might also be racing doubles if I can get a qualifying time. And as long as they allow us to do that, you know, it's kind of still out there. I'm not sure if they're allowing people at World Championships to run solo and double. If they do, I would really like to do that, especially because I'm going all the way to France, so why not run both? All right, so that gets us to June, and our next big race after that, so we went kind of ultra shape, high rock shape, now we're going back to ultra shape. Our next big race is going to be the Leadville 100, but we have a couple things in between there that I want to talk about. And some of my stuff, it's hard to decide. Like, it's kind of an adventure that also involves running and going fast, but also primitive skills. So it's like, which episode does that go into? So I'm going to try and do my best to parse these into two clean episodes. The Leadville 100 is obviously a competitive ultra marathon here in Colorado. It is 100 miles. And I'm thinking, in order to do that, I'm going to do a couple really big ultra style efforts beforehand. One of them is going to be the Mount Morrison Marathon. This is something I came up with last year. Unfortunately wasn't able to do it because I messed up both of my feet, and that was what led me down the path of pursuing the high rocks, or excuse me, the assault bike world record. Hold on. Okay, so leading up to Leadville, I'm going to attempt with my buddy the Mount Morrison Marathon. I wanted to do it last year, couldn't do it because I hurt both my feet. I kind of did something stupid. I got frostbite when I was scouting out this land for a wilderness trip, and I got frostbite on both my feet. That's why I had to go for the assault bike world record, because I pretty much couldn't walk, couldn't run, couldn't do anything except the stationary bike. But now I have this. This is kind of cool. So maybe it was a good thing that I hurt my feet. Anyways, coming back to it, this year I'm going to do the Mount Morrison Marathon. If you don't know, Mount Morrison is a little tiny mountain that's right outside my house. And it is about, what is it? How far is it? 3 miles? Yeah. Yeah. Mount Morrison is about 3.5 miles up and down. And over that span, it's 2,000 feet of climbing. So it's essentially 2,000 feet up over the course of like a mile and a half. Super steep. And we're going to do it 7 times to get to 26.2 miles, hence the name Mount Morrison Marathon. So that's going to be one of those efforts that leads up to Leadville 100. Another one of those efforts is the Teton Picnic out near Jackson Hole. What that consists of is you start on a bicycle at the town square of Jackson. You bike from there to Jenny Lake in Teton National Park. Once you get to Jenny Lake, it's basically the middle of the night. You start this thing at 2 a.m. So you bike at 2 a.m., get to Jenny Lake at like 4 a.m., you swim 1.2 miles across, and then from there, you change out of your wetsuit into running gear, and you run up / free climb to the Grand Teton. After you get to the top, you summit the top, you're going to come back down, switch back into your wetsuit, swim across Jenny Lake again, and then bike back to the town of Jackson. It is a very cool wilderness challenge. It is not a race. It is not sanctioned or anything like that. But it is very difficult. I've talked to a couple people. If you didn't see Luke's episode on Who the Wild Things Are, go back a couple episodes. We talk about the Teton Picnic. He has one arm, Agro something, where you're born with one arm that's small and one arm that's normal. And he did the Teton Picnic himself. He's an incredible athlete. So go check that episode out. All that to say, I will be doing the Teton Picnic this year. So we've got Mount Morrison Marathon. We've got the Teton Picnic. And the third effort we're going to do leading up to Leadville is the Collegiate Loop. This one I'm still trying to figure out exactly with my friends how we're going to do it, but most likely we're going to try and do it in 4 days. So for those of you who don't know, the Collegiate Peaks are these beautiful mountains in Buena Vista, Colorado. The names are like Mount Harvard, Mount Yale. things like that. So they're called the collegiate peaks. And the collegiate loop essentially circumnavigates them. So you go around the outside of the collegiate peaks, and it takes about 160 miles. We're going to try and rip that in about 4 days. So that'd be 4 40-mile days. Doesn't sound that intense, like 40 miles a day, but it is pretty gnarly terrain, and you're pretty much above like 10,000 feet the whole time, and you have a lot of gain every day. So I think it's going to be really good training. So I'll hit that. I'll take basically a week off, and then I'll come back for the Leadville 100, and that is August 17, is at least what I have on my sheet. So I believe that is correct. Yeah, so we'll be in good ultra shape by then. After Leadville, I'll take some time off. September is pretty much designated for my hunting. So just hiking around really in September, not doing anything too seriously. And I'll probably at some point transition back into some high rocks, maybe mid-November and December. But in the beginning of November, this is also a trip that I'm still trying to figure out. But there's a gentleman named Ethan Fleming, and he actually had this record before I did. He had the record for the assault bike. He did 395 miles on the assault bike, and that was the record I ended up beating. And through that process, him and I talked and became friends. Good dude. Check out Ethan Fleming. But he's putting on a race that's last man standing format, and it's called Hardcore Harry's. The only trick about this is that it's in Australia. So I think I'm going to Australia. I don't know anyone else that's going. If anyone else is going, hit me up. Let's, like, I don't know, travel together. The other reason for that is I've got some other friends in Australia in the wilderness space, and I've always wanted to go hunting in Australia. I'm just attracted naturally, have been my whole life, to that landscape, the environment, the people, the animals. So I'm thinking the way I execute it as is the beginning of November. The race is on November 2nd. It's a last man standing race, so I'll probably run for about 48 hours if all goes well. You know, I think I could probably, it's a hill, so last man standing, for those of you who don't know, it's usually like a very short track, like 1 to 3 miles, and you do it either like every hour or every 30 minutes until everybody quits and one person wins. Everybody else in the race gets a did not finish, DNF, but one person will win $10,000. This race in particular, it is a hill climbing race. So you will start, you'll go up a hill, back down the hill, up the hill a second time, down the hill, and back around to the start. And that'll continue on until everybody quits. And hopefully I'm the last man standing. I'm thinking if I'm in good shape by then, I'll have a good shot to do well in that race. And then immediately after, I'll sleep for a while, wake up, and go on a hunt in Australia. So that would be my last race I have on the calendar as of now. I always end up throwing little local races in throughout the year. I love having things to look out and look forward to. For me, it's a special thing to have a body capable of doing this kind of stuff. So I'm trying not to take that for granted. I know not everyone has these opportunities, and it's from a very privileged position that I get to do kind of stuff like this. So stoked that my body's allowing me to continue with all this. And yeah, if there's any other races that you think I should do, shoot me a DM, Ryan Quinn McGuire on Instagram. Yeah, I'd love to hear from you guys and know what races you're doing this year. If there's anything I'm missing that's really cool that you think I'd be interested in, hit me up, and maybe we could do a race together. That is my racing schedule for 2024 as it stands right now today. And look out for part two of this, which is going to be focused more on wilderness courses and adventures. And yeah, we'll see you guys next time. Appreciate you watching. Stay wild.